Are you glad you came to church this morning?
Yeah.
I know I ask you that every now and then, but I wanted to ask you again because I think sometimes, I don't know what your experience has been. I know my experience throughout the years has been that oftentimes, while I can get up, get out of bed, get out of my house and on my way, for some reason, Sunday mornings can be particularly interesting or particularly challenging. And I don't think that's accidental. I think that our enemy wants to keep us from getting here because he knows that there's something we're going to get here. And so just be mindful of that. Sometimes when things are difficult, that doesn't mean give up and quit. That means lean into it because there could be something absolutely amazing on the other side of the difficulty. So, it's been a good week for me. I don't know how your week's been. I've had a good week. I've been on vacation this week, so that was pretty cool. We were blessed to have our family here. It's something that's, you know, any of you that maybe have kids that live different places or you try to coordinate and pull people together. So we were able to get everybody here together. So my son, Dustin, and his wife, Lexi, were here from Colorado. They flew in from Colorado. And then, of course, my son-in-law, Nick, and my daughter, Samantha, who live in Annapolis, they came over with our granddaughter, Penny, and we were all able to stay at the beach together for a week. And that's an incredible blessing to be able to do that. And then to top it off, then I get to have a chance. You know, my son-in-law is over here playing guitar, and my son's playing the drums. So we get to... That's right, and there are other adopted children in the facility. So anyway, it was good. So that's a good start to the day for me, and I appreciate it, and I'm thankful for it. Because when you have those blessings, be thankful. You know, too often, I'm just telling you, that's a rarity these days, and so I'm very grateful for it. So anyway, here we are. We are reaching the end. We've been on a journey through the book of Daniel. And so we've been going through the book of Daniel chapter by chapter, and we're gonna wrap that up today. So with the exception of a few weeks, which included guest speakers, because there have been those, we have been on a journey through Daniel since mid-May. I don't know if you knew that. We started this journey in Daniel on Mother's Day, right? And like I said, with the exception of a few different guest speakers where we stepped out of it and had different, you know, topics or presentations, we've come back to this and we've been walking through the book of Daniel. So over the course of this summer in Daniel, we have revisited events that were Sunday school classics, right? Some of the stories that are in the beginning of Daniel, I mean, I told you I remember the flannel graph. If anybody here has any kind of church history as a child, you might remember the flannel graph. But then I pointed out all the stuff that they left out of those stories, because I guess they didn't want to traumatize the kids, although that could have been a good disciplinary thing, right? Right? Maybe every young, you know, I don't know, maybe every Sunday school class, young Sunday school class, needs to have like a lion's den, you know, or something like that. Not necessarily real lions, but, you know, something that can say, you know, we kind of diminish things. We got timeout today and those kind of things. Maybe timeout should be in the lion's den, right? I don't know. Anyway, so we've gone through all of these classic Sunday school's stories. We've unpacked Bible prophecy that has accurately played out in history, which should be a great encouragement to us as we look to the Word, God's Word, to direct our lives. And it's a great encouragement. We can see the accuracy with which things were foretold in the Bible. Not only have we seen that, we've discovered divine beings actively engaged in a cosmic battle behind everything that you and I are struggling through, everything that you and I are facing on an individual level as well as a national level that we see. There are divine beings behind it. A cosmic battle wages behind what you and I see. And we can't forget that. And it's easy to forget that. But we need to understand that there are things going on behind the curtain. I don't know if you realize sometimes when you are facing somebody or a situation and you know there's somebody that is absolutely driving you crazy, right? And I wasn't talking about your spouse. Some of you guys went there immediately, but that's what I was talking about. But, you know, we have to be reminded. We need to be reminded that oftentimes, you know, we want to focus on the person as being the problem, the adversary and all that. But there is something much bigger going on. And many times it's not the individual that we are at war at or being attacked by. They're just merely being utilized as a conduit or a vessel to try to accomplish the enemy's tactics. We need to know that. We need to be reminded of that. And we also need to be reminded, because this might hurt your feelings, that we can be sometimes the conduit of the enemy. And we need to be aware of that. Right? Right? I know you're thinking, no, it's always him, it's never me. Anyway, so, and here's the other thing. We've witnessed God's sovereignty in directing the rise and fall of empires, right? I mean, how he has strategically placed Daniel and his friends, right? God has allowed victory and empires to rise, and then he strategically places Daniel and his friends in positions of influence where you have these young Jewish boys that are able to, they have the ear of the kings. They are able to speak into their lives and have incredible influence. And sometimes we discount the influence that we have in our workplaces, right? Maybe even in our families. Do you know that God may be wanting to use you to bring great influence to your family? Not just your four walls, but maybe your extended family. He can do that. And after all of this stuff that we've kind of walked through in this book of Daniel, for you guys that are here maybe for the first time or second time, I kind of apologize because I don't want you to feel like you're left out, but we are wrapping up something we've been walking through. And I would encourage you, you know, you can go online to Facebook and we've got all of our services or video streamed on there. You can get CDs out of the rack at the back. You can go online to our website, listen. If you feel like you've missed something and you want to catch up, I would encourage you to do that. But we're going to wrap it up. So after all of these things that I've mentioned, these Bible stories, the prophecies, rise and fall of kingdoms, divine being, God's sovereignty, all of this we've kind of walked through and experienced today, we are now faced with one simple question. Because you knew that was coming, right? I got a question for you, right? And the question is, I want you to let this steep. I want you to let this kind of just marinate in the back of your mind through the message, because we need to answer this. And it's a we question. And why is that? Because we're all in this together. That's important. So here's the question for you. I have a hyphen in here because some of you people are going to try to say, I already know, I'm anticipating it. Well, that was two questions. That wasn't one. Right? There's always somebody like that, right? You know, there's a hyphen in it, so. Okay. Now I got to worry about, there's probably an English teacher going, you can't use a hyphen there. That should have been a semicolon. I don't know what he's doing there. Anyway, okay, bear with me. So here's the question. Are you ready? How do we respond to the message of Daniel? What do we do now? I mean, that's what matters. We just don't come show up in a place and sit down all facing the same direction and hear some nice stuff and go, oh, that was great. That felt pretty good. I learned something. I hope all of those things occur, but if that's all that occurs, then it's fallen short of the purpose. How do we respond to the message of Daniel, this entire book? What do we do now? That's the question. So I want you to open up your programs. You can take a look on the screen. We're going to take a look at the text. It's going to be in both places. And again, I apologize for those of you that are stepping in maybe for the first time today or the first time in a while, because we're in the middle of a series, so I'm going to refer to some things, but I'm not going to unpack them completely, okay? So Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 2 says this, "At that time, Michael, the archangel who stands guard over your nation, will arise. Then there will be a time of anguish greater than any since nations first came into existence. But at that time, every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be rescued. Many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting disgrace. So, we've kind of jumped in the middle of a thought, in midstream of a conversation that's taking place. Daniel chapters 10 through 12 are one unit. They are one unit. They comprise the vision, right, which is the one vision that Daniel was given throughout his life, just repeated and in greater detail each time God presented it to him. But here in this final time, chapters 10 through 12 are this one unit, and at the Tigris River, where Daniel, you know, Daniel's in his mid-80s, he's been in Iraq, what we know as Iraq, for over 70 years. He's standing at the Tigris River, and then this vision occurs, and there's a divine being at the point of this, is levitating above the Tigris River. That always gets my attention when people levitate, right? And so they're telling him, he's being told about the future. He's being told about things to come. And we saw in chapter 11 where in 35 verses, 130 prophecies were given that have all been validated in history. That's pretty amazing. But as we reach chapter 12, we're kind of midstream because something kind of weird happened at the end of chapter 11. Because all of this history is lining up and all of these different people, and we talked about it. And I gave you 2 weeks ago, we had our own kind of chart up here. But we had a human being chart, if you remember, right? And all of these things came to pass and all of these characters are real people. But then all of a sudden, when it got to verse 40 through 45 at the end of 11, things seemed to deviate and kind of get weird. And all of a sudden, it was like, well, that doesn't line up with anything. That doesn't seem to line up with history. That somehow, all of a sudden, in the middle of our conversation, the middle of conversation that Daniel's having and this prophecy that's being given to him, everything lines up as we now have the hindsight. We can look back. It lines up. But at 40 through 45, all of a sudden, something deviates and it can't be talking about Antiochus Epiphanes, which we talked about was the fulfillment, right? All of a sudden, these things don't line up. So it would seem that in the same vein as the prophecies being given now, not only for the coming future of Daniel, the more immediate future, but something in the far distant future was being spoken of. If you remember, I talked about where Jesus, right? Where Jesus told his followers, this is in the New Testament, Jesus tells his followers, when you see what Daniel talked about. Now, we know the fulfillment with Antioch Epiphanes and the desecration of the temple and all that took place in 168 BC. And out of that came the revolt of the Maccabees, and as a result of that, we have Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication. All of that took place. All of that has been fulfilled. And yet, 400 years after the fact, or 200 years after the fact, Jesus is telling his guys that it's going to happen again. And they're going, what? That happened 200 years ago. He said, look, keep your eye open. When you see what Daniel talked about, you'll know the end is near. It's going to happen again. Important stuff. Well, 11 through 45, or 40 through 45 in chapter 11 leads us right into this. It's describing this time that's really terrible. And then it says, jumps in right where we started reading. At that time, Michael, the archangel who stands guard over your nation, what nation is that? That's the nation of Israel. Who are the people? He's speaking of specifically here of the Jews. But then there's this really crazy thing that happens. And I don't know if we realize this. But all of a sudden, in there, it says, many of those whose bodies, this is verse 2, many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up. Some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting disgrace. This is a big deal. And I don't know if when you read this, if you just kind of rolled over it and go, oh yeah, right? But if you had to think back, if you were the original audience, if you're the ones receiving this message, you're hearing this for the first time. Well, what you may not know is that this phrase in here, everlasting life, it's the only time. This verse, this phrase in this sentence is the only place that everlasting life ever shows up in the Old Testament, ever. And it's the very first time and the only time that a double resurrection is spoken of in the entire Old Testament. Don't get me wrong, a resurrection is spoken of in the Old Testament and the resurrection of God's people. But never a double resurrection is spoken of in one phrase, in one setting, in one place. This is the first and only time that happens. Right? Because some will rise to eternal life. And some will rise, right, to shame. Eternal shame and disgrace. Wow. Wait a minute. Somebody had to be saying, hold the phone. Wait a minute. I thought everything was all good. And now you're telling me that when there's a resurrection, that there's a resurrection and we don't all, and everybody's not ending up in one place. You know? So maybe we can't say, well, he's in a better place now. She's in a better place now. Maybe, maybe not. This might have tweaked a little people, you know, tweaked people a little bit in Daniel's time. Wouldn't affect us. That kind of stuff doesn't affect us. We're beyond that, right? We're going to come back to that because that's an important piece. This resurrection thing. Incredibly important. But I want to move on to verse 4. So verse 4 says, but you, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret. Seal up the book until the time of the end, when many will rush here and there and knowledge will increase. Man, so God's holding out on us. Right? Did some of you react that way? You're like, okay, see, that's what I'm talking about. I don't like the guy. Right? Do y'all have conversations like that? Be honest. There are times God does stuff you don't like. Right? Or you think it's unfair. Right? Because God doesn't go by your playbook. I mean, does he know who you are? Maybe a better question, do you know who he is? Right? But think about it. There's a lot going on right there, too. God's keeping a secret from us, but yet we're reading it. All right, so he's messing with us? Right? You ever felt like you were being messed with? Right? Somebody being honest, I feel like God's messing with me. I don't know. I mean, that happens to me a lot. You know, something will be going on. I'll be like, okay, I think God's messing with me right now. I'm not sure. Right? Here's the reality. This whole secret thing is not so much, when you look into it, it's not so much about keeping something a secret from us as the sealing. Not the sealing, the S-E-A-L, the sealing of something. In other words, the idea here, the concept that is being done is that you're going to seal up this document. And the idea of it being sealed up is not so much that it's a secret that nobody's going to understand. People aren't going to understand it until they see things beginning to happen. And as things begin to happen, it'll start to make sense. It's not so much it's being kept from us. It's that things aren't revealed until they happen and they unfold. But the sealing of this document is what's critical. Because see, what that meant was when they sealed something, it was meant to be sealed to protect it, to preserve it, so that you and I would have it today. The idea of sealing up something was to preserve it, meaning it's going to be preserved untouched and unaltered. You know, that actually, I think, gets said again at the end of the book. I mean, if you remember, there's a book at the end of the book, you know, that everybody like dives into immediately because they get in church, they get to know Jesus or something, and everybody wants to immediately get a degree in Revelation, right? And it's like, stop that. Just stop that. That's stupid. Everybody does that, runs to the thing. It's like, let me find the most difficult book to understand. I'll tackle that first. Why is that? You know, it's just, that's the way we are, right? But it even says at the end of Revelation, it says that they're not to be added any words to or taken any words from this. In a manner of speaking, it's talking about the sealing up of this document. That this document would be preserved. That it would be unaltered and untouched so that this message could come down through history, through generations. But I don't know about you, but this little brief description here, rushing here and there, and knowledge will increase, sounds a lot like today. Of course, I know everybody says that in their day. Well, that sounds like today. But if you really think about it, think about the pace at which we live. Think about the pace of your last week, this previous week. I don't know, maybe think about the pace of your morning. Right? Do you ever feel like, man, I feel like we're just running all the time? I don't feel like we're ever getting, you know what I mean? We live at these frantic paces. We fill up our calendars and our agendas with all kinds of stuff because somehow that makes us better people or makes us feel better about ourselves. I don't know. And then we got to have our kids in 8 different things because that's going to matter. Maybe y'all should visit Timothy sometime. Not Timothy, your neighbor. This is in the Bible. And right? Timothy in the Bible, you know what he says? He says that physical training is of some benefit. Some benefit. But the spiritual training, pursuing godliness and righteousness, that's what changes somebody's destiny. I think we have very few parents that believe that. I could look at your calendar and I know you don't believe it. Because you spend all your time putting your kids in all kinds of different athletic functions and extracurricular activities, like that's going to make a hoot of a difference in eternity. You're going to have some incredibly skilled, gifted athletes in hell. So just think about what really matters. Because if you get your kids a scholarship to a great college, but they don't know Jesus, wow. Wow. Sorry about that. I deviated a little bit. So, all right, couple questions that are in here. These are not my questions, right? These are the questions that Daniel had. So as this supernatural being is hovering above the Tigris and telling him all about the future and telling him these things that are mysteries and he's going to preserve this word for all of us to have, Daniel's just like us. Daniel's like, he wants to know, right? So Daniel even says it in verse 6. He says this question. He says, well, how long will it be before these shocking events are over? Daniel wanted a chart too. Just like us, right? We like the charts. We like the 5 steps, 6 ways, 3. You know what I mean? That's how we like things, man, right? I got to know. Tell me, right? Daniel was the same way. Well, okay, so how long will it be before these shocking events are over? And it says this, the divine being that was levitating above the Tigris River, he responded and told him time, times, and half a times. And we know from previous places in Daniel that this seems to correspond with 3.5 years. So it's a 3.5 year period, but it's not a different 3.5 years. This has been mentioned before, okay? But it's a 3.5 year period when God's people will finally be broken and responsive to him. That's a big thing, folks, in prophetic future, is when God's people, and I don't really believe the scripture here is talking generically about God's people, all of us, the Catholic Church, and some of y'all, I didn't say Roman Catholic Church, I said Catholic Church. That word means universal. Now you got something you can go home today and go, did you know that? Right? Catholic just means universal. I think it's talking specifically about God's people, the Jewish people. When they are finally broken and they come to him and honor Jesus as Messiah. I really believe that time frame is connected there. But then he has another question, and then Daniel goes on, right? And he says, well, how will all of this finally end, my Lord? Now, in between those two questions, some of you read this, right? Do you remember what he said? What the guy said when Daniel asked the first question, do you know what the response was? Anybody? Anybody got their Bible open? Looking at it? What did he tell him? Right. Go on, man. Right? What are you worried about that for? Right? Kind of says that. That's my translation, but Right? Then it gets to the second question. The second question is, well, how will all this finally end, my Lord? Very important little piece here that you might have overlooked, but it helps us identify this person. I gave you other reasons how we identified this person or who it wasn't, right? Because he's speaking to the levitating person above the Tigris, and he doesn't use an all capital L-O-R-D. We talked about what that means in Scripture. When you see that, because only one word in the entire Scripture is handled in small, all caps, and that is the personal name of God, Yahweh. Doesn't say that. It doesn't even put a capital L. This is lowercase all. Just something to think about. He says, how will all this finally end, my Lord? In other words, you know what I mean? Daniel wants the details, just like you and I do. All right, so tell me when I got to look out for. Now, I don't know if that means, well, tell me because I want to live like I want to live. And then when you tell me when I can hit the button just before it's out so that I can be right with God, but I can still do all the stuff I want to do. I don't know if that's where he was coming from. I don't think so with Daniel. I think a lot of us would like to play that game. Right? Just tell me the Jesus stuff I got to know and when it's going to happen. Anyway, detailed information withheld at this time. Sorry to disappoint. Although this prophecy will be preserved for the future. But here's the thing. He says many will be cleansed and purified by these trials. So he's not letting Daniel in on the ending. He's saying, look, it's going to turn out all right. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to tell you the details right now. You're not going to know the details right now because honestly, if you knew the details right now, it would drive you batty. I mean, I want you to think about that. You guys ever tried to be God before? Right? I mean, seriously. Have you ever tried to sit and think? What would it truly be like? Okay, parents. I want to talk to the parents for a second. So what would it be like if God literally showed you the future of your children? The complete future of your children. What if you found out one of your children were going to turn into a mass murderer? What would you do? Take him out before he can do that? I'm just saying, you know what I mean? It's so easy for us to just think about this, but if you put yourself in a position, sometimes it's better we don't have a clue what the future is, other than that we can trust the God who's in charge of the future. You and I would lose our minds trying to sort that out and deal with it. Then he said, many will be cleansed and purified by these trials, meaning that people are going to be changed for the good through some of the most difficult things they have to endure. None of us want to get in that line, do we? Right? I'll take the difficult life. That's the one I want. Nobody wants that. Come on, let's think about it. We're all, right? We all want to opt out of that deal. You know, even if we were told, this is going to purify and cleanse you. All right. You go first, right? So, man, you go first. I want to see what happens. Well, guess what? You can see what happens. There's a whole lot of people that have gone first and gone before us. And they've gone through some incredibly difficult things in here. But God can be trusted to keep his word. Verse 11. So he is going to give him a little bit of information, right? He says, look, from the time the daily sacrifice is stopped and the sacrilegious object that causes desecration is set up to be worshipped, there will be 1,290 days. Well, I mean, that almost harkens back to the stuff that happened in 168 B.C. because there was 1,290 days or 3.5 years between the time when the temple was desecrated by Epiphanes, right, when he set up the statue of Zeus in the temple and then he sacrificed a pig to it in the temple and desecrated it until the time came and the Maccabees were able to cleanse the temple again. Yeah, all of that matches that up. But then we know this is talking about something that's going to happen again in the future. And then it adds this one in. And blessed are those who wait and remain until the end of 1,335 days. What? Okay, so 1290, 1335, there's a 45-day difference. You all did the math, some of you guys, right? I went to Laurel and I was able to do it. Right? Sussex County, anyway, but. There's a 45-day difference, and, you know, there's some other things we could get into with that, because we could say, you know, there's potentially a 10-day period that falls within the 45 when Scripture does refer to, and testimony and tradition point to the fact that there's going to be 10 days when books are opened and people have opportunity to repent. Now, we're going to talk about that next week. That's outside of Daniel, but it might be referring back to this. I don't know. That still leaves us with 30 days to try to figure out. Maybe it takes 30 days to judge the world. I mean, we all thought it was like a two-hour show, right? Great throne judgment, great white throne judgment. Yeah, that's probably like hour, 90 minutes, something. I don't know. I mean, what would it take? What would it take to judge billions? But anyway, I'm not going to answer that question for you. And you're like, man, here we are at the end. So let's get to the last verse, Daniel chapter 12, verse 13. He says to Daniel one more time, as for you, go your way until the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you. What's he saying to Daniel? Look, he's giving him what he's decided to give him. He's not giving him every single detail. But he's saying, listen, Daniel, you're going to die. Surprise, surprise. And guess what? But here's the thing. God is going to set everything right. Your reward is coming. So guess what? Go your way. Get on with the rest of your life. Now, if he could tell Daniel that, then think about for you and I. Why should we get hung up on reading parts of this book that we can't quite understand, or we're not sure how it's going to come? Oh my gosh, there's three different charts and there's three different ways it's going to fold. What am I to do? Right? Start filling up water bottles and start digging a hole under your house and start all this stuff, right? I mean, we're crazy. We're crazy. He's in charge of this. He's got this. God is going to make everything right. Go on with your life. That's what he tells you. Don't get hung up trying to, oh my gosh, anxiety, I can't move, I can't do this. What am I going to do? I shouldn't. Somebody needs to slap us. Right? Go on with our lives. Go on with our lives. How do we respond to the message of Daniel? What do we do now? You know, kind of like Daniel, this discussion of 168 BC, the desecration of the temple, and then the dedication of the temple and cleansing of it, something that's already happened. And then Jesus says, hey, it's going to happen again. Pay attention. In that same vein, you know, there's already been a resurrection. Do you know that? Wait a minute. I'm not the people in the Bible that were telling people there was always a resurrection. You got left behind. But there was one who has already been resurrected. And that resurrection changed the world. But there's going to be another one. There's going to be another one in the future. And you and I are going to be a part of that. You're not going to be left out. You will be a part of that. A part of what was being described to Daniel. You're going to be resurrected to one of two places, one of two destinies, eternal life, or eternal shame, right? Well, that's messed up, because he's probably going to mention hell next. Oh, I already did, sorry. You got it out, so you go, all right, got it out. I believe in that stuff. Let me tell you what Jesus said. I kind of always go back to him. You know? John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Jesus is talking, right, to some folks here, right? And he says this. He's talking about some end time stuff. He says, don't be surprised. Verse 28. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. So Jesus is backing up what the divine being said in Daniel. Oh, there's going to be a resurrection, and people are going to be resurrected one direction or another, right? Now, don't think when he said those who have done good, he didn't mean good deeds, right? The good they did was they accepted God's direction. They followed what God had given them. Those who before Christ came believed what God had said about the Messiah to come. But you and I stand on this side of the cross and on this side of the empty tomb. And so if we're going to be resurrected to eternal life, the good that we can do is that we accept Jesus Christ for who he said he was and who the Bible says he is, that he is the Son of God, he is the Messiah, he is the deliverer from sin, he is the only solution, and he is the only cure for the genetic disease we have called sin. You either accept him or you don't. Now here's the challenge, right? Because some of us don't like this piece either. Right, I've been talking about God's sovereignty, and I've been talking about God is in control of all this. Absolutely. And yet, he gives you and I the ability to make decisions and choices. And guess who's responsible for those? You are. You don't get top down and go, oh, no, God's got it. No. God is in charge, and the outcome of his will is going to happen. But don't think that you get to escape. Right? You have decisions and choices to make, and you will be held responsibility for the choices and the decisions you make. So the best decision, the best choice you can ever make is Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So how do we respond to the message of Daniel? What do we do now? Worship team, they can come back up. I know they were just sitting there going, okay, is this the time he asked the question? And he asked the question a couple times. Not sure what he did, right? Throw him off a little bit. I want you to think about this, seriously, folks, because we come to the end of this story, and so some of us are going to walk away going, wow, I learned a lot of incredibly neat information. So what? Or, wow, I didn't realize that those stories ended like that. So what? Wow, I didn't realize that there were so many prophecies that have been fulfilled in history already. That's awesome. So what? At the end of it, if we don't respond to what the book of Daniel is telling us, if we don't do something about it, what does it matter? Go live your life. Know that God is in absolute control, and yet you and I are responsible for our decisions, our actions, and most of all, our choice regarding Jesus Christ. And I know that's kind of like, yeah. Guess what? Here's what I found in my study of Scripture and the years I've been doing this. Most of the time, it is never an either or. It's almost always a but and, right? Well, maybe not a but and, I guess I should. We always want to make it, well, God can't be in charge and I have to make a decision. Yeah. Well, explain that to me, Pastor Frank. I can't. I can just tell you that's what his word says. I'll let you explain the Trinity to me and I'll explain that one to you. And don't tell me, I've seen all the illustrations, I've watched all the different drawings people can do, and that's still like 99%. Yeah, I got it, I think. Yeah, right? Man, there are so many things that God has shown me in life. There are so many things that he has demonstrated through my life and through the lives of those around me. Man, I trust him. And I trust him to the point that the things in here that I can't explain, I trust him anyway. Because it's overwhelming the number of things that he has explained and proven himself trustworthy again and again and again. So what do we do? How do we respond? I don't know. That's up to us, isn't it? That's up to us. I'd like everybody to stand. We're going to pray together. We're going to close this song, but you can bow your head and close your eyes if that helps you get in kind of a focus of prayer. Sometimes some of us, we got our eyes open, we're looking around at everybody, and then we just ADD out or whatever. But you may be here this morning and you have an incredibly important decision to make. The most important choice you could ever make. I know we've been talking about Daniel, but it's all about Jesus. It always is. It always comes back to that. I've asked you, I don't know how many questions through this series on Daniel. Daniel's asked a lot of questions, but I really think it all boils down to one question in eternity, and it's going to be, what did you do about Jesus? This is open down here this morning. You know, you don't have to have a prompting. We're not going to sing 26 verses of a song. I'm not going to do a high-pressure sales pitch. If you want to come down and pray, you're welcome to. I don't know what you went through before you got here this morning. I don't know what your life has been before you arrived here today. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you're kicking the tires on this thing called church or this person of Jesus, and you're wrestling through trying to figure it out. I don't know if you're here because you think this is a good thing that good people do. I don't know if you're here checking a box or not. The only thing that's going to make a difference in our eternal destiny is the choice we made about Jesus Christ. It's that simple. Some of you have already made that decision, right? Best decision you ever made. Everything didn't automatically become butterflies and rainbows, and all my troubles went away, and now I sing and skip every day, right? But you don't do anything alone. And the more you surrender and submit your life to the direction of the Holy Spirit, the more empowered you will be to walk through those struggles and challenges. This morning, I'd like you to just take a moment. I'd like you to just think about this. If the resurrection was supposed to happen or was to happen in the next 30 seconds, do I know? Am I certain? Am I confident that I will be resurrected to eternal life? Or would I face judgment, shame, and disgrace? Lord, this morning, you know our hearts. You know what we're going through. You know where we're at. Lord, not where we want people to think we're at or not what... Lord, you know the truth deep inside our hearts, and we know it too. Lord, we're either resting secure in you, the work that you've done in us, the present reality of being in a relationship with you. Or the foggy, fuzzy, I think it looks, I'm not sure what it feels, I'm not seeing. It's one or the other. Please don't walk out of here this morning without being sure, because you can be. So as they play this song, I'm just going to ask you to, you know, if it's something you want to square away, you want to be sure, man, then come down here this morning. I'll pray with you. I'm going to wait a little while, and then I'm going to jump on the bass. You can still come down, but man, let's pray together and square this away. Lord, speak to our hearts right now. In Jesus' name, amen.